Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, I can tell you right now, you're not going to believe what you're going to hear tonight. Well, maybe you will, if you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time and you understand what's been going on in this country. You are likely to begin to start understanding some things, and if you don't already, you will after tonight's broadcast. I can guarantee you that. It's heinous. Get ready, because you're going to hear an actual tape of a Nazi jackbooted thug Gestapo teenage Ninja Turtle type raid that occurred in Lubbock, Texas on July the 13th. what was that all about, huh? Well, you're fixing to hear it, because on July the 13th, folks, the Lubbock, Texas SWAT team, if you want to be so kind as to call them a SWAT team, supposed to be police officers, raided the home of Richard Robinson at 3229 87th Street in Lubbock, Texas, and there was a shootout, a big shootout, and when it was all over, Officer Kevin Cox was dead. Richard Robinson was wounded. And a second policeman received minor injuries. Robinson was charged with capital murder. He was an unemployed automobile mechanic who, guess what, folks, was successful, had a nice shop. You know, he was the owner of the shop, and you're going to hear all about it. And in the confrontation with police, the details in the initial announcement of what happened were extremely confusing and contradictory. Official statements downplayed what really happened. And there were witnesses who claimed that the officer was killed by other officers, and Richard Robinson was shot by officers, and the other policeman was wounded by officers. But they claimed that Robinson had automatic weapons and was shot at them first and was shooting at them. This is what the police said. And when confronted with the possibility that the officers had done all the shooting, here's what the police said. Police spokesman Bill Morgan told reporters, quote, "That is so baseless and contrary to the evidence that it's an absolute insult to Kevin Cox's memory," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "That's an absolute affront to the guys that have to live with the memory of having Kevin slain in front of them," end quote. But now, folks, the police have been forced to abandon that tactic and admit that there's something really wrong here. A lot of questions have arisen about what really happened and the police actions that followed. Almost a week after the arrest of Robinson after the shootout at his home, Robinson's wife was arrested for, quote, "interfering with police," end quote, as she tried to enter her own home. And despite hours and days of searching the premises, actually for more than a week, they searched his home in a vain attempt, a failed attempt, to find evidence that would incriminate Richard Robinson. And they have since been forced to let him go. And what has emerged as the truth in all of this, folks, is exactly what I've been warning you about for years, about this emerging police state. What actually happened is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you're going to learn about it. Now, if you want to read all about this in the Texas newspapers, go to our website and you'll find the stories down under the news section. And you can go there and you can read all about it. I'll be right back in a second. I'm going to read a column by Jeff Elkins entitled "Lubbock's Lesson." And it's not just Lubbock's lesson. Every police department and sheriff's department in this country should be listening to this broadcast, and they all should learn the lesson. But they won't. They won't, because they're in the grip of Marxist socialists plans to engineer the future. They are no longer police officers that protect and serve. They don't care if they're sworn to protect and defend their constitutions. They've never read them. They don't even know what they say. They are now Nazi Gestapo jackbooted puke-faced criminal thugs. And that, folks, is the truth. And that, folks, is where I learned that we had been dropped off the air. Now, I don't know whose fault it was, if it's anybody's fault. I really don't. But it makes me so upset. And I got a little upset short with the people at WDCQ. I hope they will forgive me. I apologize, folks. When you're doing a broadcast like this, and it's important like this one is, it is so frustrating. It makes you so angry when that happens. And it's happened 3 times in the last week and a half, which is not cool. So, stand by, folks. I'm going to read Lubbock's Lesson, a column written by Jeff Elkins about what happened in Lubbock, Texas. Listen to this. And I've checked it all out. It's absolutely true. I've called several people in Lubbock. I've called some of our own listeners in Lubbock. And I've called the newspaper, which is the San Antonio Lightning. The San Antonio Lightning, which is running all these stories, plus the local paper in Lubbock, which was not too helpful. The police, of course, are not helpful at all. In fact, they absolutely refused to talk to me. Would not talk to me, period. Even though I identified myself as a member of the press, from Veritas News Service, and gave them our website address and the whole works. So here it is, Lubbock's Lesson by Jeff Elkins, and every word in this article is true. Here's what he says. It's become a commonplace event, a domestic dispute turns ugly, and the police are called. Matters escalate, and a desperate armed man barricades himself in his home. The patrol officers back off and establish a perimeter, waiting for the specialists, the men in the black ninja suits. That was the scene in Lubbock, Texas, on a sweltering July morning. Richard Robinson, an unemployed mechanic, had been out of work since the state had taken his car and body shop through an act of eminent domain, paying him a year's salary, $45,000. Robinson and his wife, Laura, had argued the previous day about his unemployment, and the police were called. The patrol officers resolved that dispute with no charges being filed, but the emotions still simmered below the surface. They argued loudly yet again the following day, and the police returned. Robinson refused to leave his house and speak with the patrol officers. Robinson did not respond to negotiators' attempts at contact until 12:30 p.m. when he was contacted. Robinson was distressed and emotionally volatile, according to police spokesman Bill Morgan. Robinson's moods were described as agitated and almost manic at times. Now, folks, I've got to ask you to bear with me. Remember last week I told you I'm having some problems, and I can feel it coming on right now. My mouth does not want to do what I want it to do. So please bear with me. I'm going to try very hard to pronounce every word like it's supposed to be, but sometimes it's not going to work, I can tell you right now. It's already very hard to talk. After several hours of negotiations, the SWAT team initiated a break and rake maneuver in which windows are knocked out and curtains are cleared away. However, as team members broke the first window at 3:18 p.m., the disturbed individual, the boys in black were attempting to rescue, opened fire. He, Robinson, fired through the walls and the windows from the shadows of the house, Morgan said. As soon as he cut loose, an officer went down with a head wound. Lubbock Police Sergeant Kevin Cox died from that gunshot wound to the head soon after arriving at Lubbock's University Medical Center, Morgan said. Undercover officer Johnny Hudson suffered a superficial head wound after he was ticked by a bullet, passing through his hat, Morgan added. Robinson's weapons were at least semi-automatic and possibly fully automatic, Morgan said. An astonishing 369 rounds were fired during the pitched battle that Robinson initiated with 20 or 30 round bursts of gunfire. About an hour after the gunfire had ended, Richard Robinson crawled wounded from his house to the porch after the SWAT team fired tear gas into the home. Robinson, who suffered a gunshot wound to his left side during an intense exchange of gunfire, was charged with capital murder. Bond was set at $1 million. A commonplace story in today's armed America, right? Perhaps more than we know. Actually, the story is riddled with lies and distortions from start to finish. Richard Robinson was unarmed and never fired a single shot. Miraculously, he survived an attempted assassination by a police murder squad in which, through ineptitude, they killed one of their own and wounded another. Charges against Robinson have been dropped, and the Lubbock Police Department is in disarray, with Police Chief Ken Walker suspended. Charges of an attempted cover-up swirl through the community, and a copy of Walker's 2000 job review cited aggressiveness of the SWAT team as an area of concern. I'm really having a problem here. Perhaps Lubbock can learn a lesson from this debacle. First and foremost, why in the world does a small Texas community require its own army? The Lubbock SWAT team responded in full battle gear, armed with fully automatic weapons, armored personnel carriers, inflammable CS gas, the entire panoply of tools for the modern infantryman. In a perfect example of the militarization of Mayberry, Lubbock's police have been converted from protectors of the peace to a veritable standing army. Instead of guarding their flock from the wolves, the common constables are now warriors for the state, ready to murder those they swore to protect. A wise step for Lubbock City Manager Bob Cass would be the immediate suspension of SWAT operations in their entirety, in addition to the suspension of Police Chief Ken Walker. Let Lubbock take the lead and get rid of the fully automatic weapons, armored personnel carriers, and flammable CS gas. Where was I? A wise step for Lubbock City Manager Bob Cass would be the immediate suspension of SWAT operations in their entirety, in addition to the suspension of Police Chief Ken Walker. Let Lubbock take the lead and get rid of the fully automatic weapons, armored personnel carriers, and flammable CS gas. If the citizens of Lubbock are wrongfully denied fully automatic weaponry, the local police should be denied it as well. In a free republic, any insurrection requiring massive military firepower should be the business of the governor of Texas and properly regulated citizen militia, not ill-trained and aggressive local police, certainly not in response to a domestic dispute. Let Lubbock mandate that all police officers wear either proper uniforms or normal plain clothes, depending upon their duties. No more black uniforms and masks. No more ninja outfits. Let the citizens of Lubbock see who they've hired to protect and serve, rather than be confronted with frightening and un-American thugs who instead have a mission to punish and suppress. If the city fathers of Lubbock show some wisdom, they can turn this horrible incident around and perhaps even start a national trend. Unfortunately, if past actions are indicative of the future, a useless commission will issue a useless report. The inept police chief will be replaced with someone just as inept, and things will go on as before until the next murder. Think that's isolated mentality, folks. It's not. It's happening all over America. It began with Waco. It actually began with Ruby Ridge or Ruby Creek, depending upon who you're talking to. Proceeded through Waco, and it has escalated to the point where almost every police department in the country now has its own armored personnel carrier. Some of them have small tanks, and they all have automatic weapons and dress up like ninja warriors. The only thing missing is a sword, and I bet you in a couple of years, they'll have those too. In Trinity County, California, this was sent by one of our listeners. Gosh, it's hard to talk. Awfully hard. This was sent by one of our listeners, folks, in Trinity County, California. Bob Angulo is running for the office of County Sheriff Bob Angulo in Trinity, California, is running for the office of County Sheriff. He sends out this little personal history and little message telling what his policies are going to be. And listen to this. Question: why should I vote for you instead of the other candidates? Answer: the sheriff's department is a paramilitary organization, which means that it parallels the military in many ways. Having served in the military for 20 years and commanded two Marine detachments, I developed many ideas and plans. Those ideas and plans worked then, and I believe they will also enhance the efficiency of the sheriff's department. The best part about most of the plans is that they will not cost the taxpayers a penny. And not too long ago, folks, just 2 miles north of where I sit in the small town of Springerville, Arizona, they ordered fully automatic M16s for the little town police department, Ninja Turtle suits, and the whole works. And it's happening all over this country. Then open the phones. So, if you've got some comments to make about all this, please call, because I can't talk much anymore, folks. 520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Bob Vermager.
Hello, Bob.
These guys keep shooting each other.
Well, that's what do you expect?
Their training must be very poor.
It has nothing to do with the training. It's their mentality. It's the mentality they have. They want to kill people.
I understand that.
And they don't care if they're so stupid. Here's what they did. They went to two sides of the house facing each other.
That's great.
And then opened fire at each other. The guy inside didn't even have a gun.
Wasn't even armed.
No.
And these guys are in a crossfire with each other.
They're killing each other. A Vietnam veteran would have been rolling on the ground over that one.
I'm afraid I would have had, I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but it is kind of comical.
Well, it's hilarious, but it's also tragic.
Well, it's tragic to the poor family that had to suffer all this.
And it's despotic. It is exactly what they used to do in the old Soviet Union. And those cops didn't think that he fired at them. They were trying to kill him.
I understand that. But you know what surprises me the most? Very long ago, 67, 68, all this stuff started, like, we were teaching the FBI how to do, enter buildings and do all the good stuff the SWAT team do today. When I was in Marine Corps, Quantico.
Yeah, and then the FBI turns around and teaches
us. We should have never taught them. Because
no.
They turned around and told every little police force.
No, you should never taught them.
You know, how to clear a building. Well, of course, they didn't learn.
Of any kind.
I agree, 100%.
The FBI is unconstitutional.
It certainly is. Along with many other organizations that government forgot that...
BATF, IRS, all
right.
Of them.
And, you know, they refuse to either to admit or to realize what their limitations are. They're only allowed to do 18 or 19 things.
What do you mean limitations? They're unconstitutional in the very inception. They should not even exist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were.
So why should they realize any? They shouldn't even exist, much less be realized.
I understand that, but they were limited to, the federal government was limited to certain things they could do, and that was it, period.
Yep.
But I'll let somebody else jump in here.
Thanks for calling.
Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. The phones are open. What's your comment on this? I mean, this just, you know, it's everything that I've been warning you about for years. Good evening. You're on the air.
How's it going, Matt?
Hi.
Did they say how many SWAT team members there were?
No.
No? All right, then. I'll get off. I can barely hear you. Thanks.
Well, why was that important?
What's that?
Why would that be important?
I just wanted to know how encompassing their power is.
There's usually 15 or 20 or more on a SWAT team.
Yeah, well, with that type of weapon, it doesn't take much, I'm sure.
No, and well, I don't know if you served in any war or not, but people with automatic weapons are dangerous to your own side.
Probably.
I got to tell you that right now.
All right, sounds great. Try to support you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
520-333-4578. Phones are open. We're taking your calls. And I need you to call because my talker ain't working. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hi.
Listen, I don't think it was BCQ. I was listening very intently.
And doesn't matter. We're not talking about that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. That's just what I wanted to mention. All right.
We're talking about the subject of tonight's broadcast. I've done all the talking about that. 520-333-4578 is the number. And you wouldn't know anyway. Nobody would know. Whether the phone company threw the switch or lightning struck a phone pole or WBCQ flicked a switch or they had an equipment failure. Nobody knows. Nobody will ever know. And you can't tell by listening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Cooper, Robert.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
You had mentioned something about it was the mentality of the, of the mind there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like they so that don't surprise me because, when I look at the leaders of our country here in America, they have the same type mentality.
They're Nazis.
Right.
And these police officers are the same ones who would have volunteered in a split second for Hitler's SS lightning brigades.
Exactly. And isn't that the same policy that they are talking about now, going to Israel and having a assassination team there?
Yeah. That's what they did in Waco, Texas. That's what they tried to do to Randy Weaver. That's what they did to his wife.
Right.
They're doing it all over the country. They've
exactly.
done it to a lot of American patriots. And you want to trust yourself to these people? No, that's why I said, hey,
that's right.
If you want to be peaceful, that's fine. You want to come up here and mess with me or my property, I will defend myself. And I'll guarantee you ain't taking me except dead.
Exactly. So, that's my point there. Like I say, all we got to do is look at the leaders there. When you look at the leaders, the lower person there, they just going to do what the leaders are doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's my point there.
Yeah, and there's no justice in this country anymore.
No here. Justice. No, only just us, those that are standing up. That's the only justice.
That's right.
Just us.
That's right.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
520-333-4578 is the number. It's your turn to call, whoever you might be. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I was saddened to hear that statement from the that Marine.
Yeah, he's running for sheriff.
Yes.
He wants to be another Marine division commander.
It saddens me to think that...
He wants to make the sheriff's department into a Marine detachment.
Well, he's not from the Marines I knew. The Marines I knew were a lawful entity as part of the Department of the Navy.
Yep.
And as far as I know, the Constitution only authorizes a Navy.
That's
correct. Once the Marine Corps ceased to be under the Department of the Navy, under the Constitution, is it still a legal entity?
Well, it's still a part of the Navy. Always has been.
I thought when the...
The Navy is the only authorized standing force, and the Marine Corps is part of the Navy.
But when the Marine Corps became represented on the Joint Chiefs, it was no longer under the Navy.
The Marine Corps is still, always has been, and always will be a part of the Navy. They cannot function separate from each other.
Okay, well, I will check into that further.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yep, you can't work together and have two separate commands making separate decisions when the only way you can work is together. And that's a fact. But they've never had that problem. Navy commanders have always, except for the amphibious portion, allowed Marine commanders to be autonomous, except under the whatever command in the theater. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Tim.
Hi.
I only hope when they come for the rest of us that they're that good of a shot that they could only put 3 bullet holes in people with 400 rounds.
Don't worry about it. If you have no fear and you're not afraid to die and you're right with God, they haven't got a chance. There is nothing more fearful in this world than a man who is not afraid to die.
Amen.
Because they all are. Did you hear that tape?
Yes, I did.
They were crying.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Kevin's shot! Oh! Oh my God!
Just what you said is going on.
Yeah.
Totalitarian socialist dictatorship.
Yeah.
God bless you, Bill Cooper.
Yeah, you shoot a few of those people and they run home crying.
See you later.
Thanks for calling. That's it, folks. Boy, am I glad that's it, too. I'm going to head on out of here. Thanks for listening. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast. And I hope, I really, really hope that, what's going on here? I can't make this work. I hope that everybody wakes up soon because we don't have too long left. And that's the truth. I mean, we really don't have too long left before it's all over. And that just, folks, happens to be the honest, terrible truth, but nevertheless, the honest truth. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. When you listen to this tape on the website, folks, it's going to be a short tape because, remember, we were off the air for a while. It took me a while to realize it and then get back on the air, and then, we played the beginning over again. So we lost a good deal of time on this tape. I don't know really how many minutes it has, but it's probably not going to be much more than 40 minutes. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast. You've been listening to Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America, according to William Jefferson Clinton, and he should know.
When you can't open your mouth without a song jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo. My, oh, my.